Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. North Korea, provocation, nuclear weapons, ballistic missiles. Familiar, yes, but Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek and The Hill, my colleague and co-host and friend. And we go to our colleague, David Maxwell, of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. David, the Guardian's report on these strange events in the last days begins with this line of a player I have not seen in the news recently. The influential sister of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has called South Korea's defense minister, quote, a scum-like guy, end quote, for talking about preemptive strikes on the North, warning that the South may face, quote, a serious threat. Kim Yo-jong, that's the name of the sister, on Sunday, within these hours, came amid heightened tensions between the rival Koreas over the North's spate of weapons tests this year, including the first ICBM missile launch in more than 4 years. The puzzle here, let's get to the personalities, David. Why Kim Yo-jong? How does this help the regime in their provocations to pull out a character who appears now and again, but certainly doesn't have a military air about her? Good evening to you.
Good evening. So Kim Yo-jong is, of course, the trusted sister, and she has often been used as the bad cop. You know, she is the one in 2021 who, you know, called for the destruction of the South Korean liaison building in Kaesong because of South Korea's the escapee refugee defectors sending information to the North. She has been a very strong voice in anti-South Korean rhetoric. So if there is logic that she would now make this statement in the context of all the provocations that have been taking place, which, of course, is supporting Kim Jong-un's intent to be able to extort sanctions relief from the Biden administration. That's the near term objective. And I think that's what that's one half of the reason why we have been seeing all of the recent provocations.
Gordon, I have a question for David.
Dave, Kim Yo-jong has actually been out of the limelight for quite some time. This is the first time that she's made the headlines in, what, 6-7 months? Why do you think that she was behind the scenes for such a long time?
It's really difficult. I mean, you know, North Korea and Pyongyang is a black box. I mean, it could be anywhere from, you know, she was pregnant and had another baby, or she, you know, like Kim Jong-un's wife, or, you know, this is just their internal dealings and the way that they do things. I think it could be. And, you know, one way to think about it is she's like his hired gun, and he can bring her out at the appropriate times to use her voice and her rhetoric to add to the military provocations that we have been seeing. And she can play the bad cop, and then Kim Jong-un could disassociate himself when he is able to manipulate us to get negotiations and, of course, sanctions relief. So there's all kinds of ways to look at this. But I think that I am not concerned or not surprised that she would be out of the limelight for a long period of time and then used again. I think what we should take from this most of all is that she continues to be Kim Jong-un's trusted sister, his most important confidant. And he uses her when they think the time is right.
The recent presidential election won by an opponent of appeasement to North Korea. You all recall, because you've reported to us carefully, David, that Kim Jong-un met with Moon, the outgoing president, several times earlier in the decade, in 2018, in fact. Is there anticipation in North Korea? Is there anticipation in South Korea that the happy talk is gone, that it's time for hard-nosed politics?
Well, yes, I think in the South that's gone. In the North, it was never gone. And in fact, after Kim, after Moon Jae-in's public speech in September of 2018, North Korea never again reciprocated in talks or engagement. And in fact, has issued harsh rhetoric against Moon Jae-in ever since. And I think that rhetoric will continue to the bitter end of the Moon administration. But I think from South Korea's perspective, we are likely to see greater alignment between South Korea and the U.S. on understanding the nature, the objectives, and the strategy of the Kim family regime, on understanding that North Korea is the one that is executing the true hostile policy, even though they accuse the alliance and the U.S. of doing so. So I think that the new Yoon administration, the incoming Yoon administration, is going to take a strong stance towards North Korea. And I think that's really important because if you don't, Kim Jong-un is going to continue on the same path and continue in the short term trying to extort concessions. And of course, in the long term, focused on its objective to dominate the Korean Peninsula, which is the second part of the reason why we're seeing so many military provocations, because he continues to try to advance his military capabilities to be able to employ them if necessary and when he feels the conditions are right.
Gordon, does this trash talk suit Beijing at this moment?
I actually don't think so, because right now Beijing has a lot to consider. They've got internal problems that they don't have answers for. And right now they also have a image problem. You have Vladimir Putin responsible for war crimes, possibly genocide, as the Ukrainian president just said yesterday. So it would seem to me that China now has got to do something about this Russia relationship, which it really wanted to support Vladimir Putin. But I think it's very difficult now for China to continue that policy.
David, I want to check with you. Is there a reason to believe that Russia and North Korea work together in some fashion? Is this useful? Is this useful to Russia to have this distraction of nuclear weapon talk on the peninsula?
Yes, I think it is. It very much is. And I think I think it's natural that Kim Jong-un looks at what's happening and realizes and sees how the United States acts towards Russia and fears the nuclear threat. This really amps up Kim Il-jung's excitement because he can use his nuclear weapons to be able to threaten the United States, to be able to extort concessions and as deterrence. So I think one of the takeaways is that, Kim Jong-un will never give up its nuclear weapons, his nuclear weapons. And I also think that the collaboration between Russia and North Korea, it may not be that strong or that deliberate, but certainly Kim Jong-un's actions, at least indirectly, support Russia by creating dilemmas for the United States. And I agree with Gordon that while China is not happy with this, the fact that Kim is creating dilemmas for the United States does provide some benefit to China. And so I agree that China faces a difficult problem of its own making by supporting Russia. But I think that in the long run, Kim Jong-un is a spoiler in strategic competition. And he can spoil all sides. But I think Russia and China both think that Kim Jong-un can be useful in creating problems for the Biden administration and South Korea.
Gordon, you have a question for David.
Dave, whenever Kim Jong-un causes problems, of course, Moscow and Beijing try to take advantage of that by offering cooperation with the United States. But it seems to me at some point, if we just ignore Kim Jong-un at this particular time because there are other problems in the world, that this strategy might not work, at least at the first part of 2022. Your comments?
Might not work for Kim Jong-un or for the United States and the alliance?
For Kim Jong-un.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he's miscalculating because I strongly believe that the Biden administration, despite criticism on, from political parties, I do not think he is going to give concessions to North Korea. I just cannot see that happening. And that is where Kim Jong-un's miscalculation is. He is creating these tensions to try to force the Biden administration into a position where it seeks some kind of foreign policy success. And Kim assesses that by giving concessions that Biden would be able to describe a success in Northeast Asia. But I don't think that's going to happen. And in fact, I think what we're going to see, especially with the incoming new president in South Korea, is really a reinvigoration of the military alliance training and readiness. I think there's a clear understanding of the threat from North Korea. And I think both South Korea and the United States are going to double down on the commitment to the defense of the Republic of Korea and deterring any kind of attack. You know, we can't deter provocations. We can't deter, you know, Kim Jong-un's wild actions, but we can deter war. And that's the most important thing. We have to prevent a large scale conflict on the Korean Peninsula. And it is through military readiness, the strength and resolve of the alliance to defend South Korea, that is the best chance to prevent war on the Korean Peninsula.
We have about a minute, David. The inauguration is May 10th for President-elect Yoon. Do you expect a serious provocation between now and May 10th?
I think so. It's likely. Now, he's, you know, we have seen preparations around Pyongyang, the nuclear test site. We've seen some reports about unusual movement, about the submarine movement and the potential for a submarine launch ballistic missile test. So we are seeing all these conditions develop. And so I think it's likely that there'll be a provocation. It really is going to depend on the response that North Korea gets from its actions. And again, I will say that he will continue to do this. He is miscalculating. He is not going to get what he wants. And it would be good if we had Russian and Chinese support, as we did in 2017 in the United Nations. But we're not going to get that. And that's the one thing that probably is helping Kim Jong-un to keep going, is that he thinks he can continue to count on Chinese and Russian support in the international community.
David Maxwell, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.